Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
This morning we're talking about broken vessels. Now you don't have to turn to Judges 7, but in Judges 7 we read about Gideon. And some of you know the story of Gideon and how God started off with an army, and by the time God was through with him, they ended up having 300 people. Men that were going to fight against this huge army of thousands, 100,000, the Midianites that were invading their country. Each man had a trumpet and a torch and a pitcher, or what is called an earthly vessel. They carried their torches in the earthly vessel, and they were supposed to surround the camp. And when they did, at a signal, they broke the vessels. And then when they broke it, everybody in the camp could see the lights. And I don't know about you, but something that always stands out unique to me, and I know each of you probably have experienced this, it always amazes me when I go to a toy run or any type of run where we're always together. Not a poker run where we're individual, but we're a group. And I look down the road ahead of me. I always like being in the back someplace. I don't have to be the last one, but just so I can see the whole group in front of me. I sit there and look at that, and I go, man, there's a lot of bikers here, and it ends up only being 30 when I think there's 200. Have you ever noticed that? It always gives me that illusion. And when you see those bikes just going, I mean, you look almost a quarter mile, half a mile in front of you, and it's just one, two bikes. And all the time, it's only 30 bikes or 40 bikes, you know, something. But it appears... your imagination just carries away. I know it does for me, and I think there's more there. Every Christmas run I go through that, before I know who counted, I go, oh man, it was over 1,000 bikes there. And all the time it was 500, you know. But that's what happened here. See, that camp, they didn't know there was only 300 people out there. All they saw is when they broke those vessels, they saw 300 lights. Now, they didn't count 300, but in other words, the illusion that there was a vast army, and they took off and ran. And God worked and used 300 people to get victory over a huge army. In 2 Corinthians, which is on your paper there, chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our body." In our text today, God pictures our body as a jar or a clay, or a vessel, a place where the treasure of the gospel is put into those of us that know Christ as our Savior. A broken vessel is one that lets Christ shine and lets God work through it. And I want us to look at that today. To start off with, I want, in point number one, I'm going to talk about the four things that were just read in the verses here that we need to think about, that we are to be a broken vessel. First of all, it says we are troubled on every side. Paul was troubled and persecuted. Many wanted to see do him in. You know, at one time, I believe the count was 40. There was 40 men that took an oath. I'm pretty sure it was 40, but I didn't look it up. 40 men took an oath to kill him. They wanted him dead. And that was just one time. I mean, there's other times he's been in prison and everything else. They were after him, and they were persecuting him. They didn't want him around preaching the gospel. But he always found time, you know, and he was in jail. He found time to witness. When he was in Rome under arrest for, a couple years, he found time to witness. He never let his trouble and persecution stop him from achieving what God wanted him to do. The next thing is, we are perplexed. Paul was at his wit's end. He would always find a way out. Every time he ran into a block, he would find a way out. He didn't let it stop him. And he was not at the brink of the, even though he thought for a while he might have been at the brink of defeat, he realized he was not defeated, and he found the way out. Dr. Bob Jones, the senior that started the university over there, said that, and I think I've quoted this before, that when you get to the end of your rope with problems and troubles, tie a knot at the end and hang on, but never, ever let go. And then the third one is we are persecuted. Persecuted here means to pursue or to hunt. And believe me, Paul got that big time. Paul's enemies stalked him day and night because of what he was doing for God. And by the way, you read the epistles, you can read all about the history of Paul and what he went through. Paul was not forsaken or deserted or abandoned by God. His Lord never left him to face the impossible difficulties by himself. Finally, he was cast. We are not cast down or struck down with a weapon or thrown down, is the way it comes out in the Greek. But not destroyed, ruined, lost, or even killed. And another way of putting this in what we might be able to understand a little bit better is that a boxer in a boxing match, he might get hit and knocked down, but he's not knocked out and he hasn't lost yet. And he gets back up. And that's what this is referring to. Then point number two, Paul's weakness did not cripple or destroy him. He found encouragement in his weakness. Now think about that. Paul found encouragement in his weakness. Not complaining, not boo-hoo, but he found encouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure. Now listen, he takes pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because he knew when he can't handle something, and he let Christ do the work, he was strong by virtue of Christ doing the work, not himself. We are a broken vessel for God if we let God do the work. We broken, we let the shine out so people can see that Christ is doing the work and not ourselves. Why? Because then God could show his power through Paul as he could through us. Some of the big, and you've heard me say this before, our biggest problem is self. Every time we let self get in the way is when we get discouraged and when we get down. If we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, like the wave, remember Peter and the wave off the boat? He was walking, he was doing a great job until he took his eyes off of Christ and he looked at the wave. Now, what's the difference of us taking our eyes off of Christ and looking at our problem? It's the same picture, same example. And we'll boo-hoo and everything else and complain. I don't necessarily to everybody, but you understand what I'm talking about. And you let yourself get down, get away from the Lord, when we should be praying harder, going to God even more, and wait on him and then say, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to wait on you to work things out for me. And that's what Paul did. Paul took pleasure in his infirmity and weakness because he wanted to see God work in his life. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to see God work in my life all the time, through everything. And then I can understand that I got to be weak in order for God to be strong. I got to let the Holy Spirit work in my life to have that broken vessel. God is not going to work unless he gets the glory. That's the way it works. If he can't get the glory with Gideon, he had an army. They could have fought against the Midianites, but God said, nuh-uh, if you do that, you can say you won the war. Though he reduced it several times until he ended up with 300. And you knew 300 wasn't going to win against 100,000 soldiers. But when they did, they knew it was of God. There was no other explanation. And that's the way God works. But we got to have that broken vessel for God to work. We got to break down self. That self is the vessel, and we got to break it down. Self is most of the problems, like I said. Now, point number three, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. This is a part of the theme verse here. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. We are, we that are saved are vessels. We have a wonderful treasure in them, the treasure of salvation. The treasure also in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, I love this verse, and there's another verse with it, but I'm not going to quote it. But it says, in whom ye also trusted, that after ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believe. This is a person that just came to know Christ, is what it's talking about. Salvation. And then he says, after ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit. A promise. So every one of us has got the Holy Spirit. And if you read some more in Ephesians there, it says that we're sealed into the day of redemption, which is when we get to heaven. So the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. The key is letting Him work in our lives. And He's not going to work unless our vessel is broken. Unless we back off with self. And if we don't, and we're determined that we're going to do it ourselves, He just backs off. If you ever notice that the Holy Spirit in the Bible is always associated with a dove. And if you ever do a study on a dove, they're very easily scared off. And the Holy Spirit will not work if you continually work in sin in your life and doing everything opposite of what you know you should be doing. He's there. He just won't work in your life. He doesn't leave your body. But He won't work in your life. And you wonder why your life is so miserable. And that's the reason. The Holy Spirit's got to do the work. We have to have that broken vessel so the light can shine forth. You know, when your vessel's broken and you walk around, people are going to notice something different in your life. They may not know it's about Jesus Christ or God, but they're going to know something's different. And if that's not happening, there's something wrong with your life. You got the shield up. The power we have is of God, and we must wake up to the fact that God wants to work through us. We must become that broken vessel. We have a treasure, as it says. Something to enjoy. And the best part about it is, it's a treasure that nobody can steal. People go after treasures to find them so often, don't they? I just heard on the news yesterday that they found a ship, a French ship. I got a kick out of it. I knew it was French right away because it was the Musketeers thing, you know, that the Musketeers wore in the movie. And I thought, well, that's French. And it's off the coast.
I heard it too, but I forgot.
Space thing.
Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, it's off the coast of that. There is where they said.
Cape Canaveral.
Cape Canaveral. Anyhow. And now they haven't dug it all up or anything else yet, so they don't know what it's about. But they're seeking treasures. That's the people that are finding this stuff. They're treasure hunters. People are always constantly looking for treasures. And people go after that. And we have it right here sealed within us until we get to heaven. We got the treasure of salvation. We got the treasure of the Holy Spirit dwelling within our body that wants to work in our lives and help us every step of the way. You know, is it not normal for people to show off their treasures? You get a new bike, or you get your bike painted, or you add some new stuff on it, and right away, hey, go out and look at that, hey, yeah, and you show it off. Yeah, or you get the car that you've always dreamed of, and hey, you're proud of that car, and you may not brag about it, but you're proud. How about a house, or clothing, or whatever that might be important to you? How about children or grandchildren? My granddaughter snuck up on me the other day. I'm in the office talking to somebody, and I was my back to the door, and she walked up and came over and booed me, scared the living daylights out of me. I didn't hear her. We have these treasures, and there's a lot more different things that we can consider a treasure in our lives. Each one of us got different treasures, you know. But isn't it normal to be proud of what we got or want to show it off or whatever? And yet we got this tremendous treasure right here in our body. The power of the Holy Spirit. We must become a broken vessel so God can shine through us. And until He shines through us, He's not going to work the way you think He's going to work. It just ain't going to happen. He has got to get the glory and the honor in our lives. It's got to be Him first and us second or last. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is point number 4:10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our body. Again, it's kind of being redundant here. Paul was always suffering from some sort of... I mean, when you think of the jails, and I've read about it, and a lot of this stuff, it was total darkness. They were in mud. They didn't have floors, heating and air conditioning, or nothing like that. Sometimes they were lowered down into them, and it was total darkness down there. Who knows what's walking around down in there that you don't want to? He suffered, and yet in Romans chapter 8, verse 36, he says this, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Remember what Christ said before he left? He says, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. I've had a lot of Christians that I've met. I've met some Christians that rejoice in persecution. They can't wait to be persecuted. Now, they don't go out of the way to be persecuted. I was just reading a thing in a gun magazine that says, you have a responsibility carrying a weapon. And they said one of the first things they had there is don't go places that you know you're going to have a problem. Now, that's common sense, but yet people might do that. Same thing with the Lord. Why go places or do things that you know that that's not what God would have you to do? Some of it's common sense. You know, we're always going through times of difficulties. We're always going to have problems. And the key here is to do it with Christ. Let our vessels be broken to the point to where Christ will shine through us each and every day and let Him do the work. We have to have patience. And you're going to have to learn patience. That's the way it's going to be. We can't change it. And then if by the grace of God, before you even get a chance to pray, God works in your life, you just chalk it up and praise God for it. It happened sooner than later. We get tired in the flesh. We're human. And we want to get, sometimes our burdens are bit to the point, I don't even want to get out of bed that day. Problems are overwhelming me. I don't want to get up and face them. That's because of self. Too many problems in our lives. And I want you to think about this. Just remember, Paul has had much more than we'll ever have in our lifetime. At least when I have a problem, I'm in a heating and air-conditioned house. Even if I go to jail, it's heated and air-conditioned, and I get meals, square, and all that, and you got more rights in jail than you do outside of jail.
You complain to the grid.
Yeah. He was troubled. He was distressed. He was perplexed. He was persecuted. And he was cast down. And with all that, he became a broken vessel. And he let God work through his life. And he got to the point where he was excited about it. He rejoiced about it. Remember Gideon and the 300 men against that whole army. When the vessels were broken, the light is what the enemy saw. They heard the trumpets, but they saw the light. They didn't see 300 men. They didn't see anybody. They just saw the light. Let your light so shine before men that they will see and glorify God. Which reminds me, I almost quoted the verse here, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So every time you do something for God, you're doing it or giving God the glory, and people look at it and say, oh, God's working in that person's life. Now, it takes practice. If I've learned anything, it's not a quick change overnight as far as giving God the glory. Because I've had to learn my lessons in that, and it got to the point where it didn't matter who I was talking to anymore. I remember at bike night one time talking to a bunch of people and bringing up something and left God out of it because I was talking to unsaved people. And I had said the same thing to you all, the story. I would have told you how God worked. And after I left and was riding home, God really got a hold of my heart and said, why'd you do that? And I had to learn. And I did have to practice it. But I got to the point now where God's in my speech. I don't care who I'm talking to. I don't care if it's an atheist. I don't care who it is. And through that, God might bless and work in those people's hearts. I can't change you. Nobody can change you, but the Holy Spirit can, and God can. I just got to keep feeding the seeds and do what I'm supposed to be doing. But all of us have to become broken vessels. We got to take that outer shell and break it and let Christ and God shine through. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.